Right. Okay, Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. I hope everybody had a good couple of days. Rav Menachem was Baruch Hashem, a wonderful Maggid Shir himself. So we enjoyed it. I was in and out of Eretz Yisrael, and now we're back. Okay, four lines from the bottom, five lines from the bottom, and Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. Amar Papa. I think that's where he left off. Amar Papa. We started the third parak this week, and we the last Mishnah discussed. Akum, non-Jews doing malacha for a Jew on Yantif, including the Isurim of Muksa, not just the malacha done, but including Isurim of Muksa. We're going to touch on both of those issues right now. So Amar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa sums up the sugya that was just discussed as follows. Hilchasa, five lines from the bottom. Hilchasa, the halacha is, Nachri Shehevi Doron li Yisrael b'yamtif. If a non-Jew brings a present for a Yisrael on Yantif, so what's the halacha? Im yesh me'oso hamin b'mechubar aser. So it's going to be a couple of halachas. First line of the statement. If there is me'oso amin b'mechubar, meaning if the Nachri brings a plant, brings something that is usually connected, that's usually mechubar, and it's very commonly mechubar in that area, then it's aser. It's aser for the Jew to take it. Why is it aser for the Jew to take it? So that is here a major machlokas between Rashi and Tosis. What exactly is the reason why yemish me'oso amin b'mechubar aser? So Rashi says, the first wide lines, misha muksa. Rashi said this is an issue of muksa, because at the time that Yantif started, it was attached, so therefore you were maksa daito, you weren't thinking about it, and therefore it is muksa. And Rashi even adds that even according to Reb Shimon, who we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, does not hold of muksa, Reb Shimon ain't lahem muksa, but Reb Shimon would agree to this muksa. Remember the Meiri we had on Daf Beis, that every Tana holds of muksas, the question is, some hold of more muksas, some hold of less muksas. Reb Shimon holds of the least muksas, but Rashi says here, Reb Shimon does agree by extreme muksas that they're also muksa. So Rashi says, grogers v'tzimukim, which are types of foods that you put on the roof in order to dry, and they get putrid as they're drying out. So those are muksa, even according to Reb Shimon. This also would be muksa according to Reb Shimon if it's mechubar at the time that Yantav started. That is Shitas Rashi. The Bnei Yeshua adds, based on a couple of questions on Rashi, that maybe it's even more so that there's not even a shame ochel here. It's attached. It's not called food yet. Once it's cut, then it achieves a shame ochel. But says Rashi, this Gemara is even according to Reb Shimon. That is Shitas Rashi. Actually, we'll get to the Tosfos in the next line. The Baal Hamar here is the one that has another Shita. The Baal Hamar and the Ran both say the Muksa here is not Muksa that it's Eino Ro'i, like Rashi says, that's Grugos V'Simukim or something like that, but the Baal Hamar says it's Muksa Machmas Isser, because the only way that you could enjoy these fruits on Yantiv is if you cut them. That's Muksa Machmas Isser. So that's what the Baal Hamar and the Ran both here say. That's what Reb Shimon agrees to. He agrees to Muksa Machmas Isser. And the Ramban and the Mechamos does not like that pshat. He thinks that Eino Domed, don't compare a lit candle versus cutting versus if something is cut. A lit candle, you dafka actively do something to make it into a situation where you have to violate an isser in order to partake of it. While by his legs hanging on a tree, you didn't do anything. It's like them at Elov. So that would not be called muksa, dachya biyadayim, according to Reb Shimon. So that's why the Ramban goes back to Rashi's pshat. So either way, it's a machlokas in Rashi versus the Baal Hamar, not Tosfos. We'll get to that in a second. Rashi and the Baal Hamar, what type of muksa is being talked about here by mechubar? That is the line one of Rav Papa, that if it's attached, you cannot partake of it on Yantif. Yeah? Rashi and Shitasa from Daf Beis, that the focus is on the object. Or the Gavra. What did Rashi say? The Gavra. Right? Rashi said on that Bezim and Aleph. Rashi had said that the focus is by Nolad. Rashi says, Nolad lo havi yada denevi daiti yalave. So it's focused on the Gavra. See, here too, it might be focused on the Gavra. You're not thinking about it. In Achinam. That is the first line of the Rav Papa. Next line of Rav Papa. Ula erev. So you can't partake of it when the Nachri brings it to you on Yantif. What about that night? So ula erev nami asurin bechdeshi asu. That night, you're able to partake of it after enough time has elapsed that you could have done it, you could have done the malacha after Yantif. That's called Bechdeshi Asu. We have that by Malacha Shabbos. So here too, you have it by Malachas Yantif, that you have to wait after the time of Bechdeshi Asu, enough time that you could have done the malacha after Yantif, in order to partake of it. So again, here is the Machlokas in Rashi and Tosis. Why must you wait Bechdeshi Asu? Why do you have to wait after Yantif until enough time has elapsed? So Rashi says, the reason is, fourth line of Rashi, Kadesha lo yehanem imalachas yantif. So that you do not benefit from malachas yantif. This non-Jew did a malacha for you. So therefore, you have to wait in order for enough time for the malacha to have been done after yantif. Rashi though continues and says, because that's the issue here, you can benefit from it even on the first on that first Motsa'i Yantif, even though it's the second day Yantif. Even though it was Yantif Sheni, but still the issue here is one of Hanami Malachas Yantif, and Mimanavshach, one of these days is weekday, either the first day or the second day. So Mimanavshach Rashi says, wait Bechdeshiyasu on Yantif Sheni, and you can get Hana'ah from it, you can benefit from it then. And then Rashi has, this is one of the most fascinating Rashis in Shas, I think. Rashi quotes three of his Rebbeim, and he quotes the Rav Klonimus. Rashi says, this is my Shita, that I think that you could get benefit from it on the first night after Yantif. And then Rashi says, this is why I think I have a lot of rias to this, and in the middle of the Rashi he says, below Zachisi Lisholas P. Rabbeinu Yaakov v'davarzeh. I didn't get to ask one of my Rebbeim, Rabbi Yaakov, because, ki yinog gebo hetabim kobeinu. It was mutter in my makom, and I thought it was mutter all over. I didn't realize. And then I heard after Rebbe died, I heard the Rabbi Yitzchak Alevi Asser, and his city always Assered. I heard the Bahag Assers, and I tried to convince him. The Daiti Lafana Rashi says, I tried to convince him otherwise. Vaholi Badavar, I couldn't convince him. And I couldn't convince him otherwise. So Rashi quoted Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yitzchak, and he continues. And then finally, towards the end, he says, because they held, what did they held? I couldn't convince him. They held that it's Asser even on the second day, until Motsoa Yantav Sheni. But Rashi doesn't explain why that would be. That's Tosis. We'll get to in a second. But then Rashi quotes these two Rabbeim, and then he quotes Ubitshuvas Rabbeinu Gershom Ma'or Hagola Matzasi Kamosi. I found the Tshuva of Rabbeinu Gershom that he says like me. Rashi says my Rebbe's Rebbe, and Gamata Ba'ilai Michtav Mi Germaiza Shabal Lasham Adam Gadol. I got a letter that there was an Adam Gadol that came to Vermaiza, and he's an Adam Gadol Min Roma Ushmor Biklunimus Ubaki Bechal Hashas. Rashi calling somebody a Baki B'chal HaShas. I don't really know what level that is to have Rashi call you a Baki B'chal HaShas. But, okay, we'll trust that he was a Baki. And Vahora Kane Menechlek Alehans. He passed it this way. So anyway, Rashi here, for historical reasons, there are five different Rebbeim, or Rebbeim of Rashi here in this one. Rashi, about what? About if a Nachri brings a present for you on Yantif, and you have to wait Bechdei Shiyasu, Rashi says, wait, Pechdei Shiyasu that night on Yantif Sheni, and then you could get benefit from it, because the whole issue of Shiloh Yehenem Melechas Yantif. And he said these other Rebbeim of his, some of them held you have to wait until the following night, but Rashi argued on that. Why would you have to wait till the following night? That's Tosfos here. Tosfos here says, asks a few questions on Rashi, and he says the reason that you have to wait is not Pechdoas of Shiloh Yehenem Melechas Yantif, but the reason is, Elavade, look across, right about the 20th line on Tosfos, across where it says Lael Yuzayna Mabez. Elavade Einza Hatam El Hatam Shemayomai Lenachri Leich Velakeit. The issue is that because if you're allowed to get benefit right away, then we're worried that you're going to tell the non-Jew next time, go do it for me. If you're going to be able to benefit right away, so you're going to tell the non-Jew on Yantif. If you have to wait anyways, you're not going to tell the non-Jew, because you have to wait, so you might as well wait. But if you're going to be able to get benefit right away, so then we will say you have to wait. But Tosfos says, if this is the reason, you have to wait till Motsoa Yantif Sheni. Because even if you get what's Bechdei Shiyasu? Bechdei Shiyasu doesn't mean now, the first night. Bechdei Shiyasu means the second night, because we don't want you to ask the non-Jew on the second night either. That is one nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos. The Rush quotes both of these reasons, and quotes about five nafkaminas between the reason of Rashi and the reason of Tosfos. What if the non-Jew did it for himself? What if the non-Jew did it for himself? And then you want to get benefit. Are you allowed to get benefit from that without waiting? So according to Tosfos, yes, because there was no, she did it for himself. There's no chash that if he did it for you, you're going to come and ask him the next time. Mashiach, according to Rashi, you're still being nehen and mimalechas yantif. So that's why you wouldn't be able to, says the Rush. Number two, it says the Rush. What about, is it usher for other people? Let's say the non-Jew did it for you. Could other people benefit? So again, this says the Rush. According to Rashi, no, it's still nehen and mimalechas yantif. But according to Tosfos, the whole issue is that you might come to ask, but to give it to somebody else, it wasn't done for him, so therefore it wouldn't be a problem. There are other nafkaminas, but this is Rashi and Tosfos. Okay, so the first line of Rapapa was a machlokas Rashi and the Balamar, what the reason is. The second line, Bechlei Shiyasu, is a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Let's continue now. V'yem ein me'oso hamin b'mechubar, tochatchum. And let's say there is, I'm sorry, v'yem me'oso hamin b'mechubar. So let's say the item that he brought you is not attached. So therefore there's no issue, you think of either nehen mimalechas yantif or asking the guy to do it for you. So then, are you allowed to take the present? So says her papa, tocha tchum mutter. If it's within the tchum that he brought it from you, and you could assume that mutter, so then it's mutter to benefit from it. Chutz l'tchum aser. But if it's from outside the tchum, if you think it was from outside the tchum, then it is aser to partake of this. Rashi atop here says, I'm not sure why this is. Lo shamati tam makubo v'davar. Says Rashi, I don't understand what the reason is. Why? Because look at the next line of the brisa. Look at the next line of her papa. V'haba b'shvil Yisrael zeh, mutter li Yisrael acher. Rapapa finishes, but even if it came from outside the tchum, if it was brought for somebody else, you could benefit from it. So Rashi says, what's the reason of the Isser here? Imanapshah. If the reason Rashi says is a muksa issue, should be Usser for everybody. If it's an Isser Nasa Bishvilo, should be Usser for everybody. So Rashi doesn't really know exactly why. So he answers, V'yishlomar, he says, maybe because of Tchumin Beklaus Durabanan. This Tchumin is Durabanan. Yishlomar, the Gabi Isser, Tchumin Durabanan. So we're not Machmer so much, we'll just be Machmer on the person himself and not on others. That's what Rashi suggests is the reason here. It's a Tchula of Tchumin Midurabanan. So what if it was Yud Beis Mil, which that Tchum is the Araisa, even on Yontif? So therefore, that maybe in Achidami, this is only for the lower, smaller Tchum, and not for the further Tchum. Okay, so that is the statement of Rav Papa. Now we continue. Amar Rav Bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Getting back to trapping issues, right? That's what this parak is. Ein Sadin. Hasocher Amas Hamayin Me Erev Yontif. If somebody, let's say you have a pool of water, and you close up the entrance to the pool of water before Yontif. So therefore, you know everything that's in here on Yontif was in here before Yontif. So it was nitzot already before Yontif, and it was muchan, l'chor, before Yontif, because you set it aside. It didn't come from the outside. Ulumach, or hishkim matza badagim, and the next morning you got up and you found fish in this area. Mutar, and it's mutter. Right, it's mutter, because you closed it up before Yontif, you know it was here before Yontif. It is mutter. The Tzlach just adds, what's the emphasis of Ulumachar Hishkim? Got up early. Says the Tzlach, Hadanakat Hishkim, why doesn't it just say, you did it, Me'er of Yontif, and the Dagger and Mutter? What do you mean? You got up and saw them. So he says, emphasizing, that even if you didn't know they were there before Yontif. It's not just, they are there. You got up and, oh wow, there are fish in there. But they're still Nitzod, says the Tzlach. That's the Chiddush of Hishkim Uba. You got up early and you found them. You did not know they were there beforehand. Still it's Mutter because you set them aside, even though you didn't know you set them aside, before Yontif. Amar Rav Chisda, Midivrei Rabbeinu Nilmo, says Rav Chisda, we learned from our Rebbe, Rav, just for Rashi quotes here, for the next four lines of Gemara, we need to understand that Rav had three Talmidim, Rav Huna, Rav Chisda, and Rav Nachman. All those were Talmidim of Rav. So, says Rav Chisda, we learned from our Rebbe, Rav's statement, that if you do this to the water, you close it up before Yontif, you're allowed to take the fish. Midiv Rabbeinu Nilmod, Chaya Shekinna Bapardes Einetzri Chazimin. If you have an animal, a Chaya, that went to make its nest in an orchard, a closed off orchard, and it had a baby before Yontif, right? It went to make a nest and had a baby before Yontif. Einetzri Chazimin, you do not need any other aspects of designation before Yontif. Because once it went into this closed, small orchard before Yontif, so the child, talking about the child can't go anywhere, right? It's not going to go anywhere, it doesn't run yet, and therefore we say that's enough of a zimun. Just like by the fish, you closed it off, you didn't exactly designate it, that's enough preparation, and therefore you're able to partake of those fish on Yontif. So to hear, even though you didn't do anything, the Gemara is going to reject the comparison in a minute, but at least at this point we think, Rav Chisda says, you'd also extend Rav's statement to this case, where the Chaya went in by himself and had the baby, and it's Rechaziman in that case also, because it's called Muchan. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, Rav Chisda's friend, says, Nafal Chavrin B'Rav Ravasa. Oy, our friend has fallen into great machlokas. Meaning, I don't agree with such a comparison and such an extension of Rav's statement. Or, the same story, just with different names, before we get to the rejection itself, Ikata Amri, Amar Rabba Barafuna, Midivir Rabbeinu Nilmod, Chaya Shekinna Bapardes, Inetz Rechaziman, right? Rabba Barafuna is the one that said that we could extend Rav's statement to the Chaya Shekinna Bapardes. And Amar Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman then said, Nafal Bar Chavrin, Barav Ravasa. Right? Rav Huna was their friend, and Rabba Barafuna is the one that made the statement. So it's the same thing, just different names. Either he said, our friend has fallen into Machlokas, or the son of our friend, Rabba Barafuna. Either way, Rav Chisda is saying that you can't compare the case of closing up the water and the Chaya going in by itself. Why? Hasam lo kavin maisa. Hacha kavin maisa. There's a big difference. There, you did an act. You closed off the water. So what? Even like the Tzlach says, you didn't know about the fish, but still you did an act of hachana. Here you didn't do anything. So it went into a small orchard. How was that hachana? So therefore, don't make such an extension. Continues the Gemara. V'lo baya zimun. Is it true that you do not need zimun when this animal goes in by itself? V'hatanya, but we see you do need zimun. Chaya shekinna b'pardei tzricha lezamein. So that's it. The Brisa says Beferis against it. If a Chai that goes in, makes its nest, and has the baby in the Paradise, it needs Zimun. But the Brisa first finishes. The Tzipor drawer, Tzorach Likshar Bechanafeha. A Tzipor drawer, which are small birds, which the Mepharshim explain, even the babies look similar to the mother. It's very similar, so you might get confused between which bird you were mechin. So says the Braisa, that if you designate one of these, you have to tie something a little on its wing, kadeshul deschalad v'ima, so you recognize which one you designated, and it doesn't get confused with its mother. And this is what Shmaya v'Avtalion were meir. So you see from the Braisa that a chayi shekinana, right, against that extension of Rav's statement. So it's against that chayi shekinana part of this enes v'chazim, but it doesn't need zimun. So Gemara says tiyufta. Okay, so the Braisa says against that. But the other Gemara asks the other way. Well, me by a zimun doesn't need zimun. We have another Braisa that says it doesn't need zimun. But Hatanya, the Tosefta says, Amr of Shemet Elazar, Mode b'shamay beis hilal al hashehiz minim patoch hakan. Umatzel of ne'akan sha'asurin. B'shamay beis hilal both agree. Remember this case back from the first parak. Right, you have, the way the Gemara explained this case is that you have two kana, you have two chicken coops, one on top of another, and you designated birds in one of them and not in the other one. The next morning you went and you found birds in the one that you designated, but the ones that you didn't designate, there are no birds left in there, and you found the birds in front of the one that you designated, not in the one that you designated. So the Mishnah there said, explained by the Gemara, that those are usur, because we assume that maybe your birds flew away, and the birds from the other coop came into this coop. And that's why these are not muchan. So Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree in that case. Sha'asurin, Bamedra Mamurim, and when do we say that they are usur and they need zimun? Biyoni Shovach, Ubiyoni Aliyah, these types of doves, Vitziparim, Shekinu, Betvichin, Ubabira, and birds that made their nest, Betvichin, in little bottles and little jars, Ubabira, in a house. They used to have these places where the birds used to live to stick in and stay there. So those would require zimun. Those are that's the one that's important for us now. These chayos that when they made their nest in the orchards, mutarim, they're mutar ve'ein sricha zimun. So it's a steer in brises. The first brises says that these birds, these chayos, these animals that go into these small orchards and have their babies before yantif, are considered compared. And the other brises says they're not considered prepared. So therefore, what is it? V'tzibar drar, and the Braisa also finishes. Like we said before, these birds that might get confused with their mother, you have to tie something specific on the wings so that they don't get mixed up. And birds that you either tied up before Yantif, or even you just went and moved them around before Yantif, those are enough to be called Huzman. Those are prepared, whether they're in a pit, whether they're in a house, whether they're in a cave. In all those cases, it's mutar as long as you touched, you moved, or you tied them up before Yantif. Ubi ilanos, the Braisa just adds, but if they're in trees, even if you designated them before Yantif, if you left the bird in the tree, so then that is asurin. Those are not considered designated. Shemiyala b'yitlosh, because there's a gzera, you might go up and rip off a branch of the tree, and therefore it's usur mishum this gzeira. Isn't muksa itself a drabana that we mentioned before that a muksa might be the Tosas Yeshana Mandav Gimel said that muksa is kein d'oraisa. Because it's Kain D'Araisa, that's why we don't treat it like a regular Drabanan. By the way, I don't know if Menachem mentioned it yesterday, the Tosas Yeshanim there on Daf Gimel Mabez used yesterday's Daf Chaf Dalad, to prove that we treat it as a D'Araisa, because yesterday we spoke about Safik Muchan. And we paskin Safik Muchan is Asr. What do you mean Safik Muchan is Asr? You're not sure if it was prepared before Yantif. So we paskin, it's Drabanan, Safik Drabanan Lakula. So the Tosas Yeshanim there on Daf Gimel said that this is a Raya that we treat it Kain D'Araisa. So here too you might say that. Mishnah Berurah said that. Mishnah Berurah quoted from the Tosafot Yeshanim on Daf Gimel here. So here too, so there's a gzera, the muksa, it's not a gzera, because this muksa is a daraisa. The braisa ends off with a line that does not have to do with Hilchas Yantif, just has to do with Hilchas Kinyanim, Vahamikusharin, Vahamenunaim, and by the way, we just spoke about these tied up and removed birds. Also, if you find a tied up bird, or a menunaim, a bird that was obviously moved, somehow you saw the bird was moved, b'chol makom asurin mishum gezel. Those are asur mishum gezel, meaning you cannot take those. You have to assume that even if they were hefker, somebody did something to these birds, tied them up, moved them, and therefore they were already cone to them. We'll get back to that line. Let's just finish the Gemara first. So that was the last line. They're also mishum gezel. You cannot take them. They're not called hefker anymore. But anyway, what's the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question is that some brises, one source says that this chai shekinin b'pardes, these animals that had the baby before yantif, require zimun, and one says it does not require zimun. So Amar Rav Nachman lo kasha, haba habi'ima. Rav Nachman said, no, the difference is, are we talking about the baby or the mother? The baby does not require zimun, because the baby can't move. The baby's born, the baby can't move yet. So she does not. That baby does not require zimun. The mother animals, that requires zimun. Because that animal can walk out of the orchard. So that's why it would require zimun. Ask the Gemara, ima b'zimun sagile? What, the mother? If you're mezamined and designated, that would be enough? 1 second. If you can walk out of the orchard, say the ma'al yisabayi. We're talking about it's a malacha daraisa. Okay, maybe it's mutl sar hachal nefesh, but you could have done it beforehand. That's the ein sadin, that's the first mission of the parak. So forget what we're saying. Whether you need zimun or not is mother versus child. What do you mean the mother? It's not enough to have zimun for the mother. You would need more than that. You'd have to trap the mother before yantif. So Gemara says, you're right. Elo Amar Rabbi Bar Yitzchak, Idi V'Idi B'Dida. We're talking about both the baby, Habagina HaSmucha Lo'ir, Habagina She'in HaSmucha. You're right, the mother bird, forget the mother animal, forget the mother animal. That would require an actual tzeda, an actual trapping. But the difference here is whether it is close to the city or not. If it's close to the city, so then that's considered a zimun. If it's not close to the city, then you would require some other form of zimun.
Period. This answer is better than just saying
it's We'd rather not say it's a machlokas tanan. We'd rather not say it's a machlokas tanan if we can. The Gemara always tries to.
But then
you get out of the tiyufta. Then you're going to have the tiyufta, they just extended Rav. So that extension of Rav was wrong. Okay, just one line on the issue of Hefker. So I'm Kusharim Hamanu Naim. So Rashi here says, Rashi, the last few skinny lines, Rashi here says, why aren't you allowed to take them? Shaharishon shekashran oninaan kanan bahagbahasan. Because the first one, whoever was here before you, and did a tying or a lifting up of the animals, were kone bahagbah, shehefker nikne bahagbah. Rashi says, because hefker could be acquired through hagbah. Ownerless property could be acquired by lifting it up. Tosfos here quotes Rashi and says, "Vlonihira." Tosfos Dibra Maskal Mekusharin quotes, "Vlonihira." Duloshaya Kan Hagba. Tosfos says, "What kind of Hagba?" Right, the Bach explains, "Klomer to Mishim Nianu Alav Hagba." Moving it around is not a Hagba. Hagba means lifting it a tefach off the ground, just moving it, which the Gemara says is not a Hagba. So Tosfos says, "No, this is according to the Shita, which is a major machlokas in Baba Metzia, whether looking at Hefker is able to acquire it." Ela kedamrina dahabata kone behefker. Holdum is asik hupohen ksas. And Tosfos holds that it doesn't mean literally looking, though some Rishonim do. It means touching it a little bit. Even though that does not work, that's not a real hagbah, right? By regular kinyan hagbah, kinyan of lifting up, you have to lift it up a certain amount. But when it comes to hefker, says Tosfos, the standard is lowered. And all you have to do is move it around a drop, and that's considered habata, and habata is kone behefker. This is part of a huge issue, which we're not going to get into now, just to mention one line. And that is, why should Hefker have lower standards to have Kinyanim? You know, if I have to do, by all types of Kinyanim, I can't just say, oh, that's mine. I have to do a Maisa Kinyan on it. I have to do Hagbah, lifting it, Mashicha, pulling it, Kinyan Chazaka, I have to dig a shovel into the yard. So, there are laws of Kinyanim. So, why should Hefker be any different? So, the way many of the Achronim explain, you going to hear that? Let's just finish this. So, many Achronim explain, and that is, all Kinyanim are based on the concept called Horaz Bailus. Reflection of ownership. What if what you're doing is a reflection of ownership, that's a good kinyan. So if you have to take it out of somebody else's rishus, so then you need a very strong and high standard of kinyanim. You know why hefker is easier? Because it's already ownerless. You don't need a hotzah mirishus abaylim. All you need is a knisa l'rishuscha. So it's going to be much easier to acquire hefker, because you're not taking it out from anywhere. You're just taking it into your rishus. So that's why there are going to be less standards, according to some shitos, being kona hefker than being kona other people's property. Because you don't have to be motzi it from anybody, you just have to be not machnes it into your rishus. Okay, but that relates a little bit to the issue of habata kona behefker. Yeah. So ask the shita bukubatzes, Yisrael Baruch Shekimata, ask the shita bukubatzes, we know there's a kinyan dalat amos. There's something called kinyan dalat amos, that if it's something that's within dalat amos of your rishus, you're koneh it. So I don't even have to move it at all for. So it says the shita that doesn't work in rishus harabim. It only works in a simta, in an alley, and rishus hayachid daraisa. And what does the lashon here say? V'mekushar v'munan v'chol makom aser mishum kezel. V'chol makom is even in rishus harabim. So it's even including rishus harabim, so that's why it's not talking about kinyan dalat amos. Okay, that's what the shita mekubatzes here is mosif. Okay, let's continue. Says the Mishnah, Behema, Misukanis, Lo Yishchot, El Imkain. Today we have a little Halacha, and Lamdis, and Agarata, coming up on the base. Behema, Misukanis, Lo Yishchot, El Imkain, Yishos, Bayom Lechem, and Akazai Sli. Serious situation here. You have an animal that's about to die. It's Misukanis. If it's Yontif. If the animal dies, the animal's an Avela. It dies without Shechita, and you can't eat it. So what you want to do is, I already ate, I'm full. There's an hour left to Yantif, but I'd rather shech this animal, so I'll have shachut meat. I don't want the animal to die. It's a behemoth misukenes. It's a goses. Right, that's the lashon of the Rabbi Nachmanel. So what do you do? So says the Mishnah, you're allowed to shecht it as long as there's enough time for you to eat a kezias of roasted meat from the animal. Meaning it has to, you have to have enough time to roast it and eat a kezias of it. That's what the Mishnah says, the Tanakama. Rabbi Akiva omer afilu kezias chayim beis tvichasa. Rabbi Akiva says, no, even just eating a kezias raw. Right, you don't have to have time to, in order to cook it. Even a kezias raw is good enough. That's a machlokas. Achronim are bothered. Rabbi Yosef Engel here asks, he does not answer the question, he says, why should you need a kezias? Why kezias? What, ochel nefesh is only a kezias? Any amount. Any a kezias basa. He says, oh, you're going to tell me, you have to standardize, you know, the heter. He says, I don't like that. He says, what do you ever see that? Hanok could be even less. So he does not answer the question. So Achronim try to suggest why this should be. But again, he just leaves a bitzarach in why you should need a kezias of basar here for the need. Anything is heter ochel nefesh. We never find that there is a minimum requirement of ochel nefesh. Okay, but that's the question that he has. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Shachta b'sadeh lo yivena b'mot. Let's say you shechted this animal in the field. Says the Mishnah, lo yivena b'mot b'motos. You should not bring the animal in on big poles, because Rashi explains that's a zilzal of yantif. That's av shemilsa. Everybody's going to realize you did this out in the fields, so therefore you shouldn't do that. Avol mevi b'yado yivar mevarim. You can bring them in piece by piece. Bring them in, you know, chunk by chunk of the animal. That is okay. The Rashba has two important points here. The Rashba says, number one, interesting that you can make more trips from the field rather than make one trip that is more befarhesya. That's less of a zilzul, right? It seems from here. More trips from the field is better. That's what he said. That's what he just makes that ha'ara. Afagav the mafish bihilucha, still this is better because it doesn't look like uvdin techol each time you're doing it. Number one. Number two, he says, this limitation in the Seifa of the Mishnah that says that you're not allowed to bring it b'motos, is that only by the behemoth musukenes? Is that referring to the Reisha case? Like in this type of case where everybody knows that you're trying to, you know, it's not really so kosher, you know, so that's where you can't do it? But by Ekshera, you can do it. It's Heter Ochel Nefesh. You can bring it in. You shechted it. You were all totally okay. So he has two days about that. Whether this limitation of having to bring it Evarim Evarim is that even by a Behema Bria, by a healthy animal, or only by a Behema Musukenes?
What does Rashi add with his Avshamilsa?
What does Rashi add by Avshamilsa Mezalzal B'yantif?
What's the option?
Option milsim means a production. I mean, you have these poles, you have everybody's looking, it's a whole big production. It's not just like carrying bags of meat.
Why should that be different if it's healthy?
What, right, in the chinami. So why should that be different if it's healthy? Unless you assume that part of the option milsim is zilzul only because people know that it wasn't really supposed to be done. Because why is it a zilzul? If you're allowed to do shchita on yantif, and you're allowed to bring in the animals, why should that be a problem? So you have to add that for Rashi, right? If it's Avshe Milsa, Zilzul Yantif per se, it's a problem, but it must be, according to that other Deya, you have to add the fact that it wasn't, people know that it wasn't kosher to begin with. Okay, says the Mish Gemara, Amir Rabbi Bar Abba, Hefshir Nituach Ba'ola V'Hodin L'Katzavim. Rabbi Bar Abba made this statement. You have to skin and cut up the animal by a carbon ola. We know, before you're makriv on the Mizbeach. But Rabbi Bar Abba says, V'Hodin L'Katzavim. The same by butchers. In other words, you should not eat meat from an animal, forgetting karbanas. You shouldn't eat meat until the animal is fully shechted and cut up. That's what Rami Bar Abba says. Mikan limda Torah derech eretz. The Torah teaches you derech eretz from here. Shlo yochal adam basar kodem hashiv nituach. Right, that's what you learn from here. Just like you need it by the karban, so too you need it by any meat. You shouldn't eat basar before hashiv nituach. Ask the Gemara, my kamash one. What exactly is the chiddush of Rami Bar Abba? And Rashi explains, is this good advice or is this halacha? Is he just telling you good advice because it's derech eretz to do this? Not to eat before you cut it up or skinned it? Or is it really a halacha? What would be the halacha? Is it because it's going against Rav Huna? To Amar Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says, Behema b'chayel b'cheskas isro medes. Rav Huna says, while an animal is alive, it's b'cheskas iser. You can't eat a live animal. Right, it's becheskas iser. What is the chazaka? That here again is machlokas Rashi Tosfos, which is a lot, much discussed in the Achronim. We're just going to mention what the machlokas is. Rashi here says it's the iser of Eivir Menachai. When an animal's alive, you can't take a bite out of the animal because it's Eivir Menachai, one of the Shevet Mitzvot Bnei Noach. Tosfos says, but obviously that ends when the animal dies. So that can't be what we're talking about, because the animal's dead. You don't have Eivir Menachai anymore. So Tosfos says, no, it's a chazaka of Eina Zavucha. It's a cheskas iser that it's not shechted. It's not shechted before it's alive, while it's alive, and after it dies, it also has that chazaka, unless you know otherwise. So that is Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, again, much discussed, mostly in Maseches Chulin. But it says Rav Huna, while the animal is alive and has a cheskas iser and achivat the b'chav b'manishchata. So an animal, until you know it's shechted, has a cheskas iser. Nishchata, but once the animal is shechted, b'cheskas heteromedes, achivat the b'chav b'manishrufa. But once the animal is shechted, it is assumed to be mutter, unless you know otherwise, that the animal had a treifa. So therefore, it suggests the Gemara, is Rami Bar Abba's statement against this? Because what does Rami Bar Abba say? You have to wait until the animal is skinned and cut up before you eat it. Why would you have to do that? So we're assuming maybe you have to do that because you have to check for treifas. You're not allowed to eat any of this animal before you check for treifas. You have to skin the entire animal. So that's against Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says once the animal is shechted, you assume good. You assume it's kosher unless you know otherwise. And this Rabbi Rabba is saying maybe no. You have to skin it because you can't trust the chazaka. So maybe that's what he's saying. He's saying it as a halacha. But says the Gemara, that can't be. But in our Mishnah, Kid Rav Huna, our Mishnah is a support for Rav Huna. The Tanan Rabbi Akiva Omer, because Rabbi Akiva says, Afilu kezayis chayve beis mitzvichasa. What does Rabbi Akiva say? As long as you can eat a kezayis of meat right from where you shechted it from. Right, so therefore you didn't skin the animal. My lab be based if you mamish. Doesn't that mean from the place where you shechted, you can take a bite out of that animal, meaning it's a riot Rav Huna, you don't have to wait till afterwards. So says the Gemara, no, maybe what Rabbi Kiva means in our Mishnah is mimakom shetoveches achilasa. Doesn't mean from the makom of where you shechted it, it's the place where it grinds up its food. Mimakom tvichasa, which are the intestines, where it grinds up its food inside, that's really what Rabbi Akiva means, and therefore there's no raya to Rav Huna. So the Gemara says back, no, hatani Rabbi Kiva makom tvichasa. No, we have another brisa of Rabbi Chiya that says no, Rabbi Kiva really meant literally the makom tvichas, and therefore the Amish is a riot to Rav Huna. So how could you say Rabbi Bar Abba is saying against Rav Huna? So Gemara says you're right. Rabbi Bar Abba is not telling you a halacha, he's just telling you good advice. El Rabbi Bar Abba, orich ara kamash mulan. He's just telling you good advice. Kidetanya, as the brisa says, there's a brisa in Derech Eretz Rabba. You see on the side one of the small masechtas, Masechta Zutos. Lo yochal adam shum ubatzel me rosho ella me olav. A person should not eat onion or garlic from the top, meaning before you peel it, but just from the bottom after you peel it, from its leaves side. V'yamachal hariz araftan. And if you did, then you are considered a ravenous person who doesn't have patience to wait. So too, that's what Rabbi Rabba meant. Mean don't even wait till it's skinned, till it's chopped up. Have a little patience. That's not halacha. It's just midos and derech eretz. Kayotzi bo, continues this brisa. Lo yishta adam kosa b'vasachas. You shouldn't gulp down your drink. Right, if you have a cup, you shouldn't gulp it down because that is not pleasant. Vim shazar is a gargaron. If you did, you're considered a gargaron. You're considered a gluttonous individual. You drink down quickly your drinks, and therefore, it should not be done, but that's all derech eretz. This halacha, interestingly, is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Kufayin, Dvarim, Divrei Musar Hanogim Besuda. And Shulchan Aruch there quotes this and says, if you have a very small cup, it's okay. Right, so it saves the shot glass drinkers. Right? So it says, Lo yishta kos v'vasachas, v'pshas ha'reiz ha'gargaran, but the Rama says, Mi yukos katan ma'od mutal shos v'vasachas. Meaning it's not going to help you for Kiddush, but it's going to help you for this derech eretz. Right? It's too small for Kiddush, but it's okay. And then the Mishnah Berurah says, if you leave some over, it's also okay. As long as you don't drink everything. You leave a little bit over, it's okay.
Didn't we say that if you don't have enough, so aids, so you should drink it fast?
If you don't have enough, to satiate, in terms of satiation. Okay, those are Shas HaTcha cases, right, in terms of satiation. Okay. Oh, by the way, the Tosefa Shabbos, one of the great Achronim from 100 years ago on Hilcha Shabbos, writes, but it doesn't apply to mitzvahs. By Kiddush and Abdullah, you're allowed to drink the whole thing because it's Chibuv HaMitzvah. It shows you that you're thirsty to do the mitzvah, so therefore that also doesn't apply. So I assume by Pesach night. Pesach night, Leila Seder, where the key is to drink Kolakos, L'chadchila. Kolakos, even before Rovkos, also this would apply. Tana Rabbanon, Hashosekos Basachas is a gargaron. If you drink it all in one gulp, you're a gargaron. Shnayim Derech Eretz. If you drink it in two gulps, that's good. That's Derech Eretz. Shlosha, if you take little sips from your cup, little bit, little by little, migase haruach. That is somebody who is a gas ruach, somebody who is arrogant, because while you drink it so slowly, it's not right. It's migase haruach. V'yomi Rabbi Abba adds, chatsuva mikateya raglehu derishia. Chatsuva, what's chatsuva? We've had this before at one point. Chatsuva is a type of bush whose roots go straight down. They don't spread out to the side, they go straight down. And Rashi quotes the Gemara that mentions that Yeshua ben Nun, when he wanted to make boundaries for the Shvatim in Eretz Yisrael, he used the Chatsuva, because Chatsuvas went straight down, and that would be great border markers. That's the Chatsuva. So it says Rami Bar Abba, Chatsuva literally cuts the feet of the wicked. Why? Because the wicked people are always masikvul. They try to move the borders, and you know this is gonna show them up and trip them up and make sure that they don't they aren't masikvul. Nitiya. What's nitiya? Rashi explains the halacha of arwa. The halacha that the first 3 years that we plant something, we're not allowed to partake of it. It's asr bahana'a. The first 3 years, that's arla. So mikateya, that halacha is mikateya, ragleon to katsvaya u de bali nidos. That cuts down the legs of the butchers, the katsvaya and the bali nidos. Right? And the ones who are bali nidos, they don't wait for the wife to go to the mikvah. They jump the gun. So do arla. Arla teaches me you can't jump the gun. Arla teaches me you have to have patience. Right? So it teaches the butchers, like we said before, that you have to wait for the meat to be skinned and cut up. So that's why the Netiya teaches you that against this. Interesting. If you look at Tosfos says, didn't we just say before there was only a Derech Eretz halacha about waiting, you know, before it was skinned? Isn't it just Derech Eretz, not halacha? So what does it mean? It's Mekateya Ragleinu Tekatzvaya. It's going to cut down the legs of the butchers. Top Tosfos. Tosfos says, it's mashma that there's still something wrong with it. Mashma, there's still something wrong with it because it says that it's a bad thing not to wait. What do you mean? I thought it was just Derech Eretz. Tosas is an important line. Top Tosas. V'yishlama devadi leke iser. For sure, there's no iser because we pass like Rafuna. Once it's shechted, it has a cheskas heter. But what if it's found to be trefe afterwards? Says Tosas, that's going to be called a shogeg and not an ones. Because midas Derech Eretz teaches you that you have to wait. You didn't wait. You're allowed to go. You're allowed to eat it earlier, right? Because there's a cheskas heter. But mitzad derech eretz, you should wait. Tosfos says, "Miyum nitzay shreifa lacha sha'achal hu nanash kishogeg v'lo ka'onish shelo hayelo l'maher kolkach." You shouldn't have been m'maher, even though you had the heter. But still, it's not called onish because you can't say, you know, or we have to tell you, you should have waited a little bit mitzad derech eretz. Where does this Tosfos come up? The Gilyan Marsha quotes this as a basis for halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which halacha in Hilchas Nida. The Ramah writes in the end of Kuf Pehei that if Man al Islan, somebody is with their wife and shelo b'shas vesta, not b'shas vesta, meaning it's not an ona and it's totally mutter time. And v'mshipsh shelo b'shas vesta umatza achar atashmish dam afilu nimsad al eit shelo, and there's dam found afterwards. So that is called ones, says the Ramah. And therefore, you don't need kapara. Ones, afilo bat chatchila, nobody's kapara here. Total ones, if shelo b'shas vesta. Says the Gilyan Marsha, look at Tosfos and Beit Adav Chafei. Right? Why Beit Adav Chafei? He says, look there. Because if there's no reason, if you should have waited, then that's going to be called ones, not shogeg. Tosfos says, what's a shogeg? If we could tell you, for some reason, you should have waited. Mitzad derech eretz, you should have waited. Mitzad this. So, you know, but here there's no reason that you should have waited, right? It's totally mutter. That's why that's going to be called ones. And the Ramah is based on artosis, says the Gilyan Marsha. Okay. Let's continue. Says the Gemara. Oh, just one other ha'ara. What does it say here? That the Netiya teaches bali nidos, right? The halacha of Arla teaches you that you should wait. Ed the Maram Shif just asks, what about the pasuk in the Torah that says you're not allowed to live with a bali nida, with a nida? What, you need an arla to teach you that you're not allowed to live with an nida? You jump the gun? What about the issa daraisa? Says the Maharam Shif, maybe this is talking about nida derabanan, meaning the chumra derabzera, that we're not bo'al tipas dam kachardal, that even a drop of dam, b'nei Yisrael or machmer alatzman, that we're porish from our wives. So maybe that's the chiddush, that even there you shouldn't jump the gun, and that extra point is taught out from arla. Okay, let's continue the statement of Rami Bar Abba. Turmisa mikatea raglayon desonein shay Yisrael. The turmis. Remember where we had turmis in? We had it by the borer sugya in Shabbos Ayin Dalet. What we had to spoke about, it's a difficult line of the Gemara, 3-4 different shadim, what the case is, if you're borer turmisun, mitokli pasan. But what's a turmis? Turmis is a bean. What's a bean? So Rashi there and here explained that it's a type of bean that's very hard, and you have to cook it 7 times in order for it to become soft. So it says, Rami Bar Abba, the bean is going to give Am Yisrael Musar. Why? Because for a bean, after 7 times of cooking, at least it gets soft. And we worshipped 7 different gods. We were Oed Avodah Zarah 7 times. And we cooked Hashem. We made him mad. We boiled him up. And even then, we didn't go back to him. Even after 7 times. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, and shoved him 7 gods. But Yosifu b'nei Yisrael lasos harab b'nei Hashem. B'nei Yisrael continued to do bad. V'yavdo es ha-ba'alim, v'eshta ha-ashtoros, v'eselohe aram, v'eselohe tzidom, v'eselohe mo, v'eselohe b'nei amam, v'eselohe plishtim, v'yadvaz Hashem v'lo avduhu. They left Hashem and they did not serve him. If they left him, obviously they didn't serve him. What's being added by the second phrase, they didn't serve him? Even like this bean. My children didn't even make me like a bean. At least after the bean, they softened up after 7 times. But with me, they didn't soften up at all. They stayed hard, they stayed distant from me, even after 7 experiences of Avodah Zarah. Okay, Tana Mishnei Rabbi Meir. This is a great line coming up. This is one to quote. Mipnei ma nitzna Torah liYisrael, mipnei shehein azin. Why was the Torah given to the Jews? Because they are az. What does that mean? So Rashi takes us, this is a very pessimistic view. Rashi says, because we're so az, we're so brazen, we need the Torah to keep us in check. Right, this is something negative about Am Yisrael. We are so brazen. The Jews are so brazen. We need the Torah to keep us in check. That's Rashi. Says the Maariz Chayis here. No, come on. Says the Maariz Chayis. This is a negative. Says the Maariz Chayis. No, it means even after through the tortures of the generations, we're so brazen that we never leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're as we go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we stick to Him, yet we don't leave Him. So it's a praise of Hashem. And the Pnei Yeshua also here, it's a beautiful Lashon. He says, what do you mean it was given to us because we're as? Wasn't it offered to all the other nations? Nobody else wanted to take it. Only we wanted to take it. What, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose? We were the only ones that took it. So said the Pnei Yeshua, no, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that even after Kafalim HaKagigus, that it would have been forced upon us, we're going to accept it Baratzon later on in history. Hadar Kiblu B'Meach HaShveiros, that's the Azus, that even after we get the Torah, then we see the beauty and the emes of the Torah, so that's where we're going to then accept it Baratzon, that's the Azus here. So it's Rashi and the Maariz Chayis and the Pnei Yeshua. Tanit Ve'Rabbi Shmuel, mi no Eish Das Lamo. Rashi might have said his pshat because the next few lines of the Gemara it might fit in better. That's why maybe Rashi said what he said. But the Brisa says mimino eshdas lamo pasuk in Zos Habracha, which says the Torah is like eshdas, it's like fire. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu ruuyin halalu shetinasin lahem eshdas. It was roi to give Bnei Yisrael fire. Asia, something that was fiery. Why? And again, Rashi here says, because they're very strong, they're azim ke'esh, and therefore they need this to keep them in check. Ika da amre, or a different version, daseyim shel elu esh. They act like fire. She'omale lo nitna Torah li Yisrael, ein kal uma v'lashen yuchon l'amud b'fneihem. If Am Yisrael wouldn't have the Torah, then nobody would be able to stand up in front of them. Why? Because they're very odd, they're very strong. So again, Rashi might fit in better to the Hemshech HaPsuk, Hemshech HaGemara. V'hainu d'amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, this is what Rav Shimon ben Lakish meant, Gimel Az and Hain. There are three beings that are Az, that are brazen. Yisrael b'umos, Jews amongst the nations, Kelev b'chayos, a dog amongst the animals, Tarnagol b'ofos, a rooster amongst the birds. V'yesh omrim af eiz b'mehemadakba, some say also a goat. V'yesh omrim af tzlaf b'ilonos, also the tzlaf bush in trees. What's the tzlaf bush? So Rashi says, lo yadati mahu ha'azah shalo. I don't know what the azah is of a tzlaf. So I remember seeing a long time ago, I couldn't find it, anybody knows, you can let us know. What's the tzlaf bush? There is a Gemara, we had a Gemara in Shabbos, that the Mekoshesh Eitzim in the Torah, the one who gathered the wood on Shabbos, was tzlafchad. That was tzlafchad. That was the Mekoshesh Eitzim. Why was he named tzlafchad? Because the Eitzim that he gathered was the tzlaf bush. The tzlaf, and the tzlaf bush has thorns, chad. It has sharp thorns, that's why it's tzlafchad, that's his name, and he gathered this, and that's where, hence, he got his name. One time when I was in Eretz Yisrael, not this time, a couple times ago, in Neot Kedumim, which is the biblical area over there where they have the Lamtes Malachas, so they have one place where they have the tzlafchad, the bush. And that bush, it's a special type of thorny bush. You could put your hand into the bushes. The thorns don't hurt you when you put your hand in. But on the way out, they get you. Because they're bent in. So on the way out, that's when you get pricked. On the way in, it's not. So maybe that's what the tzlaf b'ilonis is. That's the brazenness. You could get in, but you can't get out. Right? The thorns face inward. They're round. They're round, the thorns, they face in. So maybe that's the connection of tzlaf b'ilonis here. I'm sure it's written somewhere, but we'll work on it. Continue. Shachta b'sad al yivene b'mod, says the Gemara. If you shechtu the animal in the field, again, you can't bring it in on the sticks because that's too much zilzal of yantif. Tana Rabbanan. Ein asuma yotze b'maklo v'lo ara b'tarmilo v'l ein yotzen b'kise echad ish v'echad isha. Asuma, a blind person, is not allowed to go out with his walking stick on yantif. The Rashba explains this is not a blind person that needs the walking stick to walk. It's just the walking stick that gives him extra support. So that he's allowed to do. Why? Rashi here says that also, this is connected to the previous Gemara, it says Zilzul of Yantif. This is more of a weekday activity, and therefore he's allowed to do it. The Rashba says maybe it's a Hotzah issue. Hotzah Shlo Litzarach. But either way, it's not something that the Sumer really needs. Right? Because if he needs it, then obviously it's Mutter. V'lo Aro B'Tarmilo, and the shepherd can't go out with his bag, and you can't go out in Yosef B'Kise, and with these movable chairs, a man or a woman is not allowed to go out with. Again, because it's a zilzul of yantif. Any, is this really true? Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi sent that there was an old man in our neighborhood. He went out with his gludki, which is also a type of a fancy chair or stool. And the Rabbi Shimon Levi said, it's mutter if many people need them outside. Then you're allowed to sit in the chair. And the rabbis relied on the words of Achishakya. Damar, who said, I brought Rav Huna out from Hini to Shili, from Shili to Hini, different places. I used to move Shmuel around, from the shade to the sun, from the sun to the shade. So you see, it's mutter to move chairs outside. So you're right. It's mutter if rabim srichim lo. If many people need them, then it will be mutter. Who was known as the Shliach Tzion. He was the messenger that went to Eretz Yisrael. It was called the Shliach Tzion. When you go to Eretz Yisrael next time, go to Sulma Ditzur, go to Rabbi Yaakov Ra'iti, and ask him this question about the chair. Could you carry the chair out on Yontif? Before he got there, the Rabbi Yaakov Ra'iti died. So when he got there, he had to ask somebody else. So Ashkeli Reb Zrika, Armalei Kisim Atun Beis. He asked Reb Zrika. He says, "Are you allowed to take out these chairs on Yontif? Is it a zilzul?" Armalei Hachem Aravami Bashli Yachasef. Yeah, you're allowed to take them out on chairs as long as you don't put the chairs on your shoulders. That's a real zilzul of Yontif. Maya Bashli Yachasef. What does that mean? Amar Yosef Reb Rava Balunki. These fancy types of Balunki chairs that go on shoulders. That's what's the problem. Any, is it really true that that's usur? V'har Rav Nachman Sharalei LiYalsa LeMeifik Alunki. Rav Nachman let his wife Yalsa go out with his big chair. So my answer is Shani Yalsa to Beisa. She was scared when they lifted her up and put her on the chair on the shoulder. She was scared, so she needed this big chair in order to feel safe. And Tosfos adds, it must be that Rabim Srichimla, because you're not allowed to do this unless everybody needs you. So it must be the Yalsa was needed by everybody. Amemer Marzucha Mechaskilu B'Shavta Derigla. They Amemer Marzucha also were allowed, and they allowed themselves to be put on shoulders on the Shabbos before the Yantif Mishum B'Yasusa, either because they were scared that if they would walk there, they would get stepped on from everybody standing up to greet them. V'Yamrila Mishum Ducha D'Sibura, or because they didn't want everybody to have to. They walk slowly. They didn't want everybody to have to stand for so long. So if they're on chairs, they flew in. People just brought them in quickly, and in that way, they'd be able to go in quickly and not have everybody bothered. Okay, so that's the El Maskana. If there's a Rabim Srichim Lo, then they're allowed to go out with these chairs on you. Okay, we'll stop here. Srichim Lo is on the person, and therefore they're allowed to have the chairs. Okay, good. And again, Menachem was here at the beginning. I thank Menachem the last couple of days to filling in. Did a great job, and we will continue.